Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome. Yes, here we are once again. Another day, but in fact, I think today is Thursday, which is the fourth day of the working week. Thursday comes after Wednesday, and it comes before Friday, which means Thursday falls between Wednesday and Friday. And as far back as I can remember, Thursday has always fallen, participio, past participle, Thursday has always fallen between Wednesday and Friday. Nobody has proposed any type of modification in the days of the week since I was born. And going back probably 500 years, 1,000 years, maybe it's the same. I mean, I've been teaching English since the 13th century, and it's still Monday through Sunday. So, but today's Thursday, and it's going to be Thursday all day long, so we need to get bimentalizado, como decís en español. Accept this reality that today is going to be Thursday, but tomorrow's Friday. And when we reach Friday, we know that the weekend is a la vuelta de la esquina, just around the corner. But it doesn't really matter now because we are approaching, in fact, we're right in the middle of July. Right in the middle of July. So people are starting to adopt a vacation mentality. And you notice it in the streets of the city. And you notice it that Friday is no longer so fantastic because already people are starting to take it easy and is starting to adopt that summertime mentality, right? Yeah, have you ever heard the song Summertime? It's summertime. Have you ever heard it? I have two people looking at me right now and Nacho behind me, but you can see Nacho on the television screen, you see. So I can see him there. I can't remember the one we played about a month ago. You remember, Nacho? You know, the Jamies? I don't know if it's that one. Let's put it on. Let's see if it's that one. It's summertime. Put it on.
It's summertime.
All right, that's a good way to start the day so early in the morning. Come on. Yeah, it's impossible to start the day depressed when you hear that song, but there's so many others. Can you find the Summertime by George Gershwin? You know, summertime and the living is easy. The fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich and your mama's good looking. So hush, pretty baby. Don't you cry. It's the story of the black mommy, you know, in the plantation. We say mommy, this one.
Yeah.
And she sees the little white baby crying. I said, why are you crying? Your father's rich. Your mother is good looking. Come on. You got everything going for you. Have you found it? Put it on. That's an instrumental. I was trying to find the one that has voice on it. Maybe we can find Gershwin Summertime. Let's see. Gershwin. George Gersh. I knew there was a missing letter. Gershwin Summertime. I can't find it. Maybe in Porky and Bess. Summertime. If you put Porky and Bess. Porgy and Bess. But don't worry about it, Nacho. If you find it, let me know. And there are many others, songs about summertime. But did you find something? Yeah, let's try it. Put it on. Well, that's a voice. It's a bit too slow, but it's very good, a very good voice. It's operatic. But in any case, as I said, ladies and gentlemen, I have two people here sitting opposite me, looking at me, waiting to join me on this radio show. Very special people. I've known one of them for almost a year now. And maybe. But in any case, I have a father and daughter team here, which is not often. I've had father-son, father-daughter. Yeah, I've had these teams before, maybe once a year. But in any case, I'm going to start with ladies first. Carolina, good morning.
Good morning.
Oui, oui, Nacho.
Oui.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning. It's good to have you here. Mm-hmm. Good morning to you, Doña Carolina. How are you today?
I'm great. All of this music kind of like pumped my senses up. I was feeling a little bit slow, like sleepy, and now with all of this music, I'm wide awake.
Now you're wide awake. Yeah. Okay. My God, I have to do this every day. I have to be wide awake at 7:30 in the morning every day.
What's your power song?
My power song? No, sometimes. Well, I need to stay. But you see, I can see Nacho on the television screen, and I can see he falls asleep. And so it's a good thing you can't hear the people in the control room. And so I'm the only person awake here. So, I mean, somebody has to stay awake, you know?
No, just you.
Just me.
Certainly have good chat.
If we have 200,000 people listening, I can't afford
200,000.
Right now, I don't know. Maybe it depends. Right now, because we're in the middle of July.
Less.
Maybe not. By the way, happy birthday, Andrea. That's my daughter.
Oh,
today's her birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you. You live in a zoo. All right. So you know the song. You look like a monkey, and you act like one too. All right. I'm talking to my daughter. Okay. But I think she's probably up now. She's probably up. She has a show later in the morning.
What time is she starting?
From 1:30 to 3.
Oh, from 1:30 to 3.
Yeah.
Midday. 1 hour and a half.
It's called what's it called? It's called the lunchtime show, right, Nacho? The lunchtime show.
Uh-huh. And she's in the program with somebody else?
Yeah, with Rob Grams. Rob Grams is the head of the radio and TV.
Uh-huh.
Marketing manager here.
Uh-huh.
And he's been working with Vaughn Systems since 2002.
Okay.
Yeah, long time. He also was the master of ceremonies for about 6 or 7 years in the Vaughntown programs we do out. Mm-hmm. So in any case, Carolina, you're starting to feel a little bit better now, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, now.
I'm ready.
You're ready. You're ready.
Ready.
Now, that man sitting over there, is he really your father? Is he your father?
He is really my father.
All right. And what's his name? I don't remember.
His name is Javier.
Good morning, Javier. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Are you glad to be here?
Of course. You know,
ask him if he had trouble getting up this morning.
No.
So,
let her finish.
When did you wake up? Like, what?
Listen to me. Ask him if he had trouble getting up this morning.
Did you have trouble getting up this morning?
Yeah, y acerca un poquito el micrófono.
Yeah.
No. Oh, el micrófono hacia ti.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there we go. Did you have trouble getting up this morning?
No.
You didn't?
No.
All right, ask him if there was a lot of traffic along the way.
Did you have any traffic coming along the way?
At that time, around 7 o'clock, when I started, you know, my trip to Baugan office, was not so many cars.
It wasn't so bad,
no,
okay.
It was just a few cars. Anyway, it was some queue, but
no, there was some traffic.
Traffic and not stop. Okay.
All the time a queue is simplemente una cola de coches.
What?
Bueno, a queue is una cola formada a propósito. You understand?
Ah, yes. It's,
so you don't run into a queue when you're driving. Unless it's a special queue formed for a specific reason.
For you know, one control or one whatever.
What, no, they say queue up.
Okay.
Alineense. You understand?
Yeah, huh?
And then you queue up. That's a British expression. You go to the United States and say queue up.
Line.
Most people don't understand you.
No, but in the queue, I was jumping the queue in the metro in London when I was playing football there.
You were jumping the queue. How do you say it in English? We would say cutting in line. Yeah.
Yes, because it was too expensive.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Saltarse la cola.
Yes.
Yeah. Saltarse la cola was...
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's cutting
jumping
in line.
Queue.
But in any case, we're here with Javier Dauthig. Dauthig. How do you... Where is your family originally from?
You know, originally, you know, my father was born in the times of Austro-Hungarian Empire.
The Austro-Hungarian Empire.
In 1910.
1910. That's Franz Joseph, Francisco Jose. Franz Joseph was still the emperor.
Even for that reason, you know, when I've been have some celebration with the Hungarian embassy in Spain, they give, you know, some celebration. Was great in the house of the ambassador of Hungary in La Moraleja.
Mm-hmm.
They was, you know, a good meeting with different people like Vicente del Bosque and many others.
All right.
From the Spanish Football Federation. And we are thinking that I have the right to be Hungarian.
You have the right to be Hungarian, but you are... Is your father officially Hungarian?
I don't think so. I think, well, as far as I know he was born in Madrid, so he's fully Spanish. On his passport, but obviously our roots are different.
Okay, so your roots, you are, for example, you are what, half Spanish or half Galician or what?
So, yes, so my dad's side, 100% Czechoslovakian, yeah, 50%.
Wait, hold on, Slovakian or Czech?
No, the real situation is my parents live in the Czechoslovakian period.
Good, but where was your father born? Where?
In the border.
Between, on the border.
On border of between Hungary and
Slovakia.
Yes, in Sahy town.
But were his parents Hungarian or Slovakian?
In that town is Slovakian.
So his mother tongue is Slovakian.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
His mother tongue was Slovakian.
But when I was always a bit confused because they've been talking many times with them and they speak with many people like my uncle, Ladislav Kubala, or Puskas, or Segedi, or many others.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening now, you're hearing some names like Kubala, Puskas, Vicente Bosque. So you can know that this man is involved in the world of football. Have you been involved in the world of football all your life?
Yeah, of course. You know,
was your father involved all his life?
Okay, my father, of course, he escaped. You know, from
just a second. We haven't got to. You're getting ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
He always gets ahead of himself.
Yeah.
You're getting ahead of yourself. All right.
The question was: so my granddad was from
Czech. Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
And then my grandma was from Slovakia. So it's one from each side. So
No.
As far as I know.
That's not right. Okay.
My mother.
But your parents are from the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
In 1910,
at that time. At that time. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
All right. Your father was born in 1910, right?
Yes.
And your mother, when was she born?
In 1918.
So your mother was 8 years younger than your father?
Yes.
All right. So, now, at that time in 1910, when your mother was born, the Austro-Hungarian Empire had collapsed.
Was full.
Well, it was the last year. Depends on what month.
Exactly. We need to analyze. For
November 11th, 1918 was Armistice Day.
I don't know exactly the days, but probably was, depends the month.
All right. So, but did your father grow up at home speaking Slovakian with his parents or Hungarian with his parents? With your grandparents?
Hungarian. They speak in the...
They spoke Hungarian.
Yeah. Between his brothers and his parents, they speak Hungarian. They spoke Hungarian, yes.
Okay, so they didn't speak Slovakian.
No, speak Slovakian too, but this is the border. You know, in that... If you are around, you know, that area, you see many of the border towns, they speak both languages.
But, you know, Hungarian and Slovakian are very different. Hungarian is not a Slavic language.
I wanted to know whether they were actually quite similar.
They're not.
Or no? Are they very different?
It's like Basque and Spanish.
Oh, wow.
At least.
You see, Hungarian is Magyar. And the Magyars lived in the near the source of the, down by the Volga River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In central Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to the beginning of Siberia. In that area. In the south, at the south where the Ural Mountains begin to disappear, going south towards the Mar de Aral in that area. And then they migrated about 1,200 years ago or more. They migrated to what is today Hungary.
But
they settled there.
But I didn't know where it's coming, you know, the Hungarian language, really.
Well, it comes from Central Asia. It comes from Central Asia.
Anyway.
You say, where is Hungarian originally, well, originated?
Originated.
Yeah, where did it originate? The ancient Hungarians originated in the Ural region, Region Udulos Urales, in today's Central Russia, and migrated across Eastern Europe, well, the Eastern European steppe,
Yeah.
The Hungarians conquered the Carpathian basin, La Cuenca de los Carpatos,
yeah, but,
in 895 A.D. Mm-hmm. So it's 1,200 years ago, 1,100. All right, but that language is totally different from the Slavic language.
Slavic language is completely Polish, Czech, Slovak.
Slovakian.
Slovakian.
Slovenian.
Or Slovenian too. Slovenian.
Serbian.
And Croatian. And
Russian.
Serbian. It's Russian. I speak Russian for that reason. You know, the language is, they have the same roots in many words. And, okay. And anyway, I learned, you know, for different reasons.
So your father grew up speaking perfect Slovakian and perfect Hungarian.
Yeah. Slovak and Czech.
And Czech.
They are very similar.
Good.
And
ask her when her father became a football player.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did your father become a football player?
I think he... The Dauchik, because the name and the pronunciation is... Dauchik, because they have some accent in the C, or some hats in the C is Che, and it's okay. Dauchik. Ferdinand Dauchik started in the very early
when years. He was a little boy.
Yeah, when the little boy started, the family is very structured family. You know, Dauchik family is still there, and they have all my cousins or my uncles in some of cases. But anyway. They was in that area, even in Czech. But if you put Dauchik family, you can find it everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Many of them some of them in Canada, but many of them in Germany and in other places.
When did Ferdinand Dauchik become a professional football player?
A professional, I think, with 18 years old.
When he was 18. When he was 18 years old.
Exactly. When
no se dice que es con 18 años. We don't say with. West sería que acompañaba a un que llevaba 18 años. When he was 18, he became a football player. Yeah. And where did he play? In Czechoslovakia or in Hungary?
In the Slovan team in CSKA Bratislava.
So he played for Bratislava first.
Yeah, Bratislava. First of all, in the Slovan, he was in the regional, close to Sahi, and he was playing there. And some of the information in Google or in Wikipedia, they are not 100%
so
correct.
So accurate.
Well, yeah. That's always true with Wikipedia. Yeah. You can't trust it 100%.
No, but you can change Wikipedia.
Was he considered one of the best players?
Yes. He was
in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, he was the first Slovak player playing in Czechoslovakian team. And be like captain of the team, and in that time he was a real celebrity in that period in the football in Czechoslovakia
before the Second World War.
Before
World War II, right?
Yeah, before, because he was in the World Cup in 1934 in the final, and in Italy, and he lost against
Italy.
To Italy. It was
so the final in 1934.
Yeah, the final was against Italy in Italy.
Czechoslovakia, in Italy.
Czechoslovakia, Italy. Yes.
All right.
It was unbelievable game, but of course that game was completely controlled by Italian organization. Let's go.
But what was the final score? You know,
I think was I don't remember. You know, right now. You know.
Okay, we'll find out. World Cup?
In 1934.
World Cup? 1934 in Italy.
34, not 35. 34.
Oh, 1934.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. The final score. I can't find it.
He played. Spain played too. If you see there.
Yeah, Spain played too. I see Spain defeated Brazil. Minotaur.
Yeah.
That's not maybe the only time in history.
No, not the only time, but anyway.
But Spain defeated Brazil, but I can't find the finals. Let's see if we go down to the finals. Italy, Czechoslovakia. 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
2-1. 2-1. Italy defeated Czechoslovakia in the final. And so your father was, what position did he play?
Defender. Defender, okay. In the, I think, right side of the defense. Like in Spanish, we say lateral derecho.
Lateral derecho.
Or central, you know.
All right. And then he became a manager, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was the manager, even when I've been talking with a very, very important guy that the people are appearing in some of the record players, okay? Record
getting
you know, the football players get many goals. How
the records of different players.
The records of different players. And we've been in that time, in 1979, I don't remember, with Sarmiento Birba in us. I've been with Joseph Beckham. Joseph Beckham,
you and was Joseph Beckham, he's considered the greatest striker in the history of football.
Exactly. 35, yes.
35 what?
The goals that he got.
That he scored?
Yeah.
35? No, he scored 800 goals.
No, no. Talking about, you know, the got, you know, I think 800 in 500 games.
All right, good. But why 35? I don't understand 35. You said he scored 35 goals.
No, 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 no. Sorry. It was a mistake. You know, he got, you know, 800 something. You can find it in the history of Joseph Beckham in 500 games.
So he's the greatest striker in history.
Of course.
Who's second? Difference.
Who's second? I don't know. He's jumping
Cristiano
right
Ronaldo
now. Is it
or
Cristiano
Pelé?
Or Pelé or some others, you know.
Are you getting cold? No, you're okay?
All right. I'm okay too.
All right. So, when did he become a coach?
When we were in that meeting with Joseph Beckham, he was explaining that Ferdinand Dauching in that time was 24 years old. And all the team he was listening, what he's, even the official coach, he was listening Ferdinand Dauching. Why? I don't know why, but probably because they are thinking that Ferdinand, even very young, in the young period, he have some special characteristic in his mentality like a coach.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Javier Dauchik and with his Dauchik, who is here with his daughter Carolina, and we're talking a little bit about his father. His father was a very renowned football player in Czechoslovakia, and then got into coaching, and then he came to Spain, escaping from the communist controlled.
From jail.
He escaped from jail.
He was in Zvolen.
All right, just a second. We'll get to that. Don't get ahead of yourself. We still have an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Go on.
We still have an hour and a half, and I want people to start situating you. You understand?
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
And his father came to Spain. His father brought Ladislao Kubala here. So Kubala, who was the Spanish national coach for several years, and who was a very good player for Barcelona, well, Kubala came here through Javier's father, Ferdinand
Dauchik.
Yes. He also holds the record in Spain, tiene el record, for the number of titles. Yes. Títulos conseguidos, títulos como de Liga or de Copa, la Copa del Generalísimo, for example, and all of these cups. So he's... And then, Javier, you also played football, but in England.
I played football, you know, in Spain, you know, in different teams. And after, when I've been studying to England, you know, I've been playing there in Queen's Park Rangers.
All right.
And after with... And then with Chelsea, I've been talking with very good interview with Sir Stanley Rose.
All right.
He was a very good friend of my father. And he was a very important man.
Well, you can't stand listening to his English, right? But that's how most people speak.
I know.
I mean, look, there are 400 million native speakers of English. And then there are another 2 billion who speak it chapurreando, you know?
Good chapurring.
Chapurring.
I can communicate quite well. Okay.
No, you can get your ideas across.
No, the thing is...
Bad grammar.
No, Kaya. But we're not...
Please.
Can you hear the music?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That means not just... He's staying in Dando de Charnos.
Ah, okay.
Es un indirecto, means... Shut up. Nacho, take it away.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza, Cleopatra y Marco Antonio, Adán y Eva, Romeo y Julieta, Vaughan y Disney.
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupobaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites. Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back for our second half hour. We are here with Javier Delphic, ex-football player, businessman, practically everything. And his father, we're talking right now about his father. We have his daughter here, whom we will learn about as the radio show progresses, as we progress. But his father was Ferdinand Delphic, who came to Spain in the mid to late 40s, escaping from prison in Czechoslovakia. He brought his family. He brought other players. He brought the team, Kubala, as well. And Kubala ended up marrying one of the sons, I believe. No, one of the daughters, one of the daughters. Yeah. And so Kubala was your uncle?
Uncle, yes.
So Kubala was your uncle.
Got married.
And Ferdinand Delphic.
Sister.
Yeah, just a second. Ferdinand Delphic, he always is the number one coach in the history of Spain in terms of number of titles.
In terms of number of titles.
Yeah, títulos ganados. In the Primera División, 3 títulos de Liga.
Yes, double.
6 Copas del Generalísimo.
7.
2 Copas Eva Duarte. Toma.
Yes.
Eso es nuevo. Y Copa Europeo Latina. With Football Club Barcelona. He was a coach. He was the coach. Entrenador.
Yes. Entrenador.
Of the Hungarian team. Also Football Club Barcelona. Athletic Club de Bilbao. Atlético de Madrid. Oporto. Football Club de Oporto. Betis. Real Murcia. Sevilla. Real Zaragoza. Elche. Magán. Un culo inquieto, eh?
Richard, could you tell us from what space of time? Like, when did he start and then when he actually...
Well, he came to Spain in 1949, is that
49.
Correct?
49. 49. He escaped in 1949 around in the winter, in the start.
So he arrived in Spain in 1949 and then he started coaching then?
Yeah, he started.
No, when he came with the Hungarian team, he was a... They call Hungarian team because that team is most of the players are from Hungary.
Hungary.
Yeah. For Hungary.
Hungary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some others are from different other countries, you know.
So he came, he came to Spain with a Hungarian team or he escaped from jail? I don't.
The situation in that period was very, very complicated with the Soviets, okay? Soviet was a terror situation in Czechoslovakia. And they start to thinking to escape of that terror country controlled by the Soviets.
Okay? Oh, how did they escape?
Okay, how they escape? They escape. They planify everything. And in that time, you know, Ferdinand Delphic was the coach of the national Czechoslovakian team.
Fine. How did they escape?
You know, first of all, you know, when they
he never gets to the point.
No, but the thing is, where they planify.
Don't planify, no se dice. They plan.
Organize.
Okay.
To organize to escape.
Well, they planned.
They planned to escape. But before, they make a tramp for
a
him.
A what?
They make a...
Say in Spanish.
They
una trampa, creo que
una es. Trampa. Una
a trick.
A trick. Yeah, yeah. A trick. A través de una carta, you know, through the letter, they was playing outside of Czechoslovakia. With the national Czechoslovakian team.
So yes. Basically they created a fake certificate, a fake letter.
Yes, they gave him a letter.
For what?
They gave him. Quién es him?
Who?
Ferdinand Delphic. They gave to Ferdinand Delphic.
The players somebody, gave
Ferdinand. No. Somebody gave him a letter. Of course, that letter was closed.
And sealed, yes.
Sealed. And that letter was, they tell him, give to the president of the Czechoslovakian Federation when you come back to Czechoslovakia. And, okay, he got, you know, the letter, and that letter was a tricky letter, okay?
I don't understand.
That letter was when they cross the border to...
From Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia.
So what was the point of this letter? Like, they had this letter to escape and to cross a region, a border, for what?
The letter was a tricky letter to accuse Ferdinand Delphic of spying.
Of spying?
Yes, spying. And for that reason, they have the reason to put him In the jail.
Okay, did they put him in jail or not?
Yeah, of course they put him.
So they put him in jail?
No, just Ferdinand. Ferdinand Dautzig and Zdenka. And Zdenka.
And the family.
Sibok.
Yeah, the family.
The family, yes.
Okay, the family was put in jail.
The family, both of them. The two, what? The parents.
Yeah, your parents.
My parents, not the children.
Okay, the husband and wife.
Exactly.
The husband
okay,
and wife.
Your father and his and your mother were,
exactly.
were put
so
in jail in Prague.
Zvolen. Zvolen.
Okay, in Czechoslovakia.
Yes, in the jail of Zvolen.
Okay, how did they escape?
They had, how can I explain, you know, some of the family, because the Dautzig family, like I told you, was a big family.
Good. How did they escape?
Because they gave him...
They
gave him the possibility to go for the funeral. Funeral of some of the nieces of Jan.
To go to a funeral.
Funeral.
They gave him permission to go to a funeral.
Because they have...
Fine. What happened in the funeral?
But they let him to escape. They organized. Yes, because when they put, you know, Ferdinand Dautzig in the jail, they have demonstration in Bratislava and in Prague.
Fine.
And in Budapest, you know, why, you know, the national coach of Czechoslovakia is in the jail. Imagine if Vicente del Bosque they put in the jail.
Fine, okay.
Okay.
How did he escape?
They escape when they...
They got permission to go to the funeral?
You know, the people want to help Ferdinand Dautzig to escape.
Okay.
And they give the opportunity to go to the funeral.
All right.
And in that situation, they escape with six of my brothers and sisters.
How?
They cross, you know, the
by
border.
By bus, by car,
no,
by
no.
train?
They have
on foot?
They, on foot, you know, part on foot, part in train.
All right. Crossing from the Czech border to?
From Czechoslovakia in that time.
To Austria?
To Austria, yeah.
To Austria.
In that time was around October.
October
1949. October or September was snow, already snow. And they need to cross and they have many, many...
They cross to Austria.
First of all to Austria, yes.
And then?
And after...
And then?
And then to...
Don't say the
Switzerland.
After, eh?
Yeah.
Ojo, nunca.
And then to Switzerland, because they arrange the documents needed. The documents needed to go to Switzerland, because in that time, if you don't have some...
Fine, we know. You needed... They had the documents, so they went to Switzerland. And then?
And then...
Quiero traerlos a España.
No, then they went to Italy.
Fine.
Because why? The Italy was controlled for the...
By
American troops.
Troops.
And for that reason, they want to escape and to stay in some place that they feel safe.
So they came, they went to Italy.
Yes. And at the same time, they organized with the, players to have a meeting in the refugee camps.
Okay, fine. So they went to Italy, but how many? Your mother, your father, no. Your brothers and sisters?
And the sisters of Kubala was Latzi.
But how many other players? How many non-family members?
Oh, many others. They joined there. They joined.
But how many? How big was the group?
The group was around, you know, 20 players.
Okay. 20 players from Czechoslovakia.
From Czechoslovakia and many others, many other countries. Yes.
So, and your father was the ringleader.
Exactly.
El cabecilla.
But he was organized before of that situation.
Fine.
They could it because they put in the jail.
So now we have your father and your mother and family in Italy with maybe another 15 players.
More.
Well, you say 20, okay, 20 players.
Yes.
Fine, and they're in Italy.
Yes.
Who's taking care of them?
No, they start to make...
A living.
Friendly, or friendly games, okay, to get money.
Okay, they formed a team and they started playing.
And they start to play in different teams to get, you know, some
exhibition
incomes.
Exhibition matches. Those friendlies, the British say friendly.
Yeah.
A friendly. Es un partido amistoso.
Yeah.
Right? Americans, we say exhibition.
Exhibition games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exhibition games. In Italy. All right, so they were making a little bit of money.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Very good. Were they winning usually the games?
Yeah, many of them. And they start, because in that team in Hungarian, Hungarian is not
Hungary.
The Hungarian national team was the name that Ferdinand Daucsik gave for this group of players.
Hungaria,
exactly.
That's the name of the team.
Exactly.
Hungaria.
That doesn't mean it's the Hungarian national team.
Okay, I understand, yeah.
Okay.
No, so it was a national, it was a team, and it wasn't a national team. Hungaria.
Exactly.
No, Hungria. Hungaria.
Exactly.
All right. And for 1 year, they played in Italy.
No, less than 1 year.
Less than 1 year.
Yeah, less than 1 year. They started to make some games in Italy, and of course many top teams, and the top team in that period was Torino. Torino was the top team in after the war, in 46,
all right,
47, 48.
That's interesting, because now in Turin you have the Juventus, which is also in Turin.
And Torino.
And Torino.
Yeah.
It's similar to Manchester United and Manchester City.
Something, yeah.
I was saying, Torino was the number one team.
In that time was the leader in all Europe.
And did they play Torino?
And they went there, and Torino focused in that players. And
on those players, yeah.
And those players, and one of them was Ladislav Kubala. But Ladislav Kubala,
how old was Kubala at that
very
time?
Very young, in that time was 20, 21.
All right.
And of course he, in many informations about, you know, the history of the, these families, Daucsik Kubala family, they said Kubala was completely, I don't know, something like, apadrinó, Fernando Daucsik apadrinó.
So your father
como
was,
si fuera su hijo.
Was basically the godfather.
Something like that.
Of Ladislav Kubala.
Something.
But then they decided to come to Spain.
Yes.
And not stay in Italy.
Not, but both for some reasons, of course.
What was the main reason?
The main reason is the terrible situation happened
terrible
with
situation.
The Torino.
Terrible
situation.
Not table situation.
No.
Terrible.
Terrible situation with air crash.
A plane crash.
Yeah, plane crash.
Okay, there was a plane crash.
Yeah. They was, you know, they was.
They were.
They were. They were an agreement.
There was an agreement.
There was an agreement with Torino, and in that time, they decide to, and Torino invite them to go to Lisbon.
Okay, so they reached an agreement. Vamos a poner esto en inglés normal.
They reached an agreement.
They reached an agreement with the Torino Football Club.
Exactly.
And to go to Lisbon.
They invite them.
Well, Torino invited the Czech team.
The president of whoever.
Okay, invited. Doesn't matter who invited. They were invited to go to Lisbon.
Yeah,
But they missed the plane.
No, before to. The despegue.
Okay, before taking off
the plane.
What happened?
They called them that they have, the family have some problems with the train. And nobody went to help them. In that time, was six children
right.
From.
So your father,
they
your
go
father
inside
was
of the plane.
Was, went to, boarded the plane. Okay.
Yeah.
The plane was in Torino, right? In Turin.
Yeah, Turin.
The
yeah.
plane was in Turin. Your father boarded the plane.
Yes.
But then he had to get off.
Yes.
Before taking off, because his family had a problem in the train station in Turin.
Yes, it was alone. Nobody.
So he
went.
Missed the plane. He missed the flight to Lisbon.
No, they left the plane.
He missed the flight to Lisbon.
Exactly.
Perdió el vuelo.
No, perdió.
Right.
They
he didn't go.
Didn't go.
Lo
but
perdió.
He missed the flight.
Well,
okay.
Perderlo es cuando
no,
tú
no,
lo
no,
quieres
no,
coger.
No, es cuando no puedes ni ir. O sea,
pero si te dicen, baja, o sea, go out from the plane.
It was his decision to leave the plane.
They, of course. They
because his family was exactly. having a problem in the train station,
exactly.
right?
And they said, okay, when we come back, we sign.
Different right. times,
so
right?
So they decided to stay in Turin and wait for the team, el equipo entero de,
exactly.
de Torino.
Exactly.
The team to come back from Lisbon.
Exactly.
And did the team come back?
The team come back. But
came back.
Came back, and in that, when they came back, they have an accident in... I don't remember. Was it the
very close, about 5 kilometers
yeah,
from
five
the airport?
Minutes, yes. In
did all of them die?
Superga. Superga was the
Superga, and they all died.
Not all, but
sure?
most of them died.
Really?
I don't know. You can find it.
I think they all died.
You can find
what's
it.
What's the name of that air tragedy. Yeah.
Torino air Torino, tragedy, yeah.
Torino air crash. 1949 or 50?
I think 49.
All right, 1949. Torino air crash, 1949. De Superga, tragedia yeah. Superga.
Exactly.
All right, let's find it in English. All right, the Superga air disaster occurred in May 1949. Okay,
exactly.
Carrying the entire Torino football team. Gran Torino, como la película.
No,
they crashed into the retaining wall at the back of the Basilica de Superga.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all 31 people on the flight died.
Yeah.
No survivors.
Yeah, no survivors.
All 30. Yes. And your father and other people would have been on that plane if your family hadn't had the problem in the train station.
Mm-hmm. In the train, nobody...
So you wouldn't be here.
Of course.
Because you were born in Spain.
I born in Spain, yeah.
So you were the last one.
I was the last one.
How many brothers and sisters?
10 brothers and sisters.
So you're number 11.
I'm the 10th.
Ah, so you have 9 brothers and sisters.
9 brothers and sisters, yes.
All right.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
And I correct, you know, because they escaped from Czechoslovakia from the jail in 1948.
Okay.
In the winter, in the starting month of the winter of 48.
And so the team that was going to sponsor your father and the players, Torino, disappeared.
Exactly.
New
and so
team.
Your father had a new problem. Yeah.
No team.
And so they decided to come to Spain.
And yes, decided because they have some people, some friends in Spain. And in that period, you know, was the biggest stadium in Europe was Chamartín Stadium.
San Martin
was finished, I think.
You know, El Bernabeu.
Yes,
what is Bernabeu
exactly.
Now?
It was in 1947.
Okay, so they completed the Estadio San Martin, which now is Bernabeu Stadium.
Exactly.
In England, people say, in Great Britain, they say Bernabeu.
Yeah, Bernabeu.
Bernabeu, no, they say Bernabeu.
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 Okay. Bernabeu. Sounds right. Funny. But in any case, so it was finished because it was the biggest stadium in the world? Or in Europe?
In Europe. Or I think in Europe in that time.
Maracana maybe was built at that time.
I don't know. I think Maracana was later.
Well, it was in 1950, El Maracanazo.
Yeah,
1950,
yeah.
1 year later.
And for that reason, when that team, you know, Hungarian team, arrived to Spain, they was the, I don't know, the
they
team.
Were?
They were the team. Play against different national team and Deportivo de La Coruña and Espanyol and Real Madrid.
So your father quickly became well known and appreciated.
I start, you know, to.
All right. Okay, very good. Oof, my God, we'll come back to you. Let's talk about a little bit. I'm going to ask her some questions.
Great.
All right. Where were you born?
I was born in Galicia, in Santiago de Compostela.
In Santiago. All right. And did you grow up in Santiago?
No, actually, I was only born there. And then when the summer ended, I went back to Madrid, where I'm from.
Well, they brought me. Yeah, they brought you back to Madrid.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Madrid.
Yes.
Okay, but correct. How old were you? I know you went to Great Britain to study.
Yes.
But how old were you when you left Madrid?
16. 16 years old.
To go to England?
To go to England.
Did you go to a...
study.
Did you go to a boarding school?
I think you could board, but I wasn't boarding in their school. I stayed with a host family.
Right.
That was actually really great because the mom spoke a little bit Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was very beneficial because I spoke no English at all. Like,
Your family sent you to England?
Yeah, knowing
to study
nothing.
With no
knowing
knowledge
nothing.
Of English.
Correct.
Was that you?
No, I don't think. I think Carolina was speaking a little English because
I
have many of my friends. They came my house in that period.
All right,
they speak with me in English because they are from the east.
But in any case, when you got there, you didn't understand anybody.
Exactly.
Nothing.
This is
the problem. I couldn't say pass me the ketchup when we were sitting down at the dinner table.
All right.
I knew nothing, but
right.
I think that was great, you know, because I feel that I learned from zero in England.
From scratch.
Yeah.
All right.
Otherwise I would have I don't know, had my previous knowledge of English.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was good that I didn't have that.
So how many, you did secondary school, you did, how many years did you do high school?
So I did, three in total. So I did my GCSEs and I did my A-levels.
Your A-levels in? What did you choose?
So I chose business studies, sociology, travel and tourism, and Spanish.
You chose four. Normally people choose three.
But because one of them was Spanish, I only chose Spanish to get good grade and have a good, amazing grades.
And then you went to the university.
Yes.
You went to uni, as they say.
Yeah,
in the UK.
I went to uni in the UK.
What university did you attend?
So I ended up choosing Plymouth. University. Yeah.
Plymouth down in Devon. That's down on the coast.
Down in Devon. Beautiful place.
Very close
Navy
to Cornwall.
Base.
Yeah. And Plymouth was great because it was the most important city, in Cornwall and Devon. So it was a really, big university.
Plymouth is more important than Exeter?
Yes. Size-wise, yes. Because Exeter is only renowned because of its university. Mm-hmm. And when you actually go, there's not really much to do in that, city. So, I think they invested a lot of money into Plymouth because it's so close to the region of Cornwall that is, a big, important port and a place where people from all of that region would go.
Right.
So,
how many years did you spend in Plymouth?
Three years. Yeah.
You completed your degree in 3 years.
Yes. You had the option to do a placement year. So the actual full degree would be 4 years, but I decided to finish it in three and start working, straight away.
All right. Did you start working in Plymouth or did you go to London?
I moved to London. The experience of Plymouth was great because, I got to meet really wonderful people. But then once that phase of my life was done, I thought, okay, now I need to move to the big city. And of course I had to choose London.
Did you have trouble finding a job at the beginning or did you find a job right away?
No, I thought that London was very easy to find a job. In the period of 2 to 3 weeks, I had my first job there. I don't know, it was like the first ever proper job that I would have, because obviously like when you are at uni you have like these little jobs, waitressing and doing things like that, but first proper job was in London after 3 weeks.
How many years did you live in London?
2.5.
All right. And then you came here?
Yeah.
Well, why did you come? Well, I mean, why did you come back to Spain? Were you enjoying life in London?
I have mixed feelings about London. I think London is a wonderful city and, it makes you grow up a bit more. Like it makes you begin.
You mature more quickly.
Yeah. And you get like a hard skin. You grow hard skin from it because it's a really big city. You meet a lot of people that I thought it was a little bit hard to, get to know people in a deeper level. I thought that you had a lot of acquaintances, like people that you only knew a little bit, but they were not actually your real friends.
All right.
Plus, like every like little things that you will value in your life, like your distance to go to work, to meet your friends, they were very, very extremely long.
All right.
So
you prefer Madrid over London from the point of view of friendship, moving around, etc.
Yeah.
It's more intimate.
It's more like the way I am. I feel that I enjoyed London in many, many aspects.
So you came here? Did you find a job here?
Yeah, so I had an offer to come to Madrid and ended up the situation was I had four offers in London and one in Madrid and it was Madrid over all of them.
And where are you working now?
So now I'm working at a university called ISDE. Yeah.
What does ISDE stand for?
Instituto Superior de Derecho y Economía.
All right.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to take another break. We're here with Javier Dauzic, hijo de Ferdinand Dauzic, el entrenador de mayor títulos futbolísticos de la historia de España, ¿eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 de Primera División, 6 copas del Generalísimo, 2 copas de Eva Duarte. ¿6?
7 copas.
7. Pues aquí está mal. Y una copa europea latina. Okay, and here with his daughter, Carolina. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just 4 minutes, so stick around.
Stick around.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Una clase de inglés Vaughan no es igual que las otras clases de inglés. En una clase de inglés Vaughan el tiempo se optimiza al máximo. Cada minuto cuenta para tu empresa y cada minuto cuenta para tu inglés. Es una cuestión de pura matemática. Cuanto más practiques las estructuras esenciales del idioma, más confianza tendrás al usarlas en la vida real y más eficaz serás comunicándote en inglés. En este mundo globalizado, comunicar con eficacia es un sine qua non del éxito. A través de las clases presenciales o clases de videoconferencia, Vaughan hará que marques la diferencia para tu empresa.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933-398-687, en Madrid en el 911-335-831.
Hoy en día muchos piensan que con las nuevas tecnologías ya no va a hacer falta encargar traducciones profesionales. Pues yo creo que no. Yo sigo viendo barbaridades por ahí cuando se intenta traducir con máquinas. Encontré hace poco que el Centro Botín, es decir, de la Fundación Botín, creo, es traducida como Loot Center, o sea, centro de saqueo. ¿Botín? ¿Saqueo? Bueno, pero yo creo que no. El casco antiguo de una famosa ciudad española se traducía como Historic Helmet. ¿Casco? ¿También se puede decir yelmo histórico, como dice la máquina? Helmet, yelmo, casco, ¿qué más da? Hasta en los restaurantes de más prestigio se pueden encontrar joyas gracias a la tecnología traductora. Peppers with beautiful, o sea, pimientos con bonito. Muy hermosos serán esos pimientos, digo yo. Habitas con jamón. Fácil para la tecnología. You live with ham. O sea, tú habitas, yo habito. Todos, por lo visto, habitamos con jamón. Pues, es verdad, supongo. ¿Quién querrá vivir sin jamón? Fino tío Pepe. Thin Uncle Joseph. Bueno, sí le noto un poco más delgado al tío últimamente. Y ya lo más legendario, rape a la marinera. Rape sailor style. O sea, violación al estilo marinero. Bueno, no creo yo. Estos son ejemplos curiosos, divertidos, pero miles de escritos importantes salen de España con errores importantes. La palabra escrita lleva más la imagen de una persona o de una empresa que la palabra hablada. No se la juegue cuando se trate de traducir algo importante. Confíe en los profesionales. Confíe en Vaughan. Vaughan Translations.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.